Hey, good morning, good evening, good afternoon. It's your guy, Larry. And you just tuned in to another episode of Larry's Biblecast. How are you this morning, this week? Hopefully you're having a wonderful week so far. And you're getting through this week. I know there's... We got so many things we do, right? So many things that we do in one work week. And sometimes it just, man, some good days, some bad days, ups and downs, and all kind of things that are happening in our lives, right? So, first of all, I want to thank you for joining me and tuning in to this another episode of Larry's Biblecast. We have been going through this devotional called Favor, and it's funny that on this episode here, in a devotional that is called Favor, we see that there are so many things that go on the outside of favor. And I think that what in this particular episode I give such a perspective, and we find such a perspective on not just favor, but pursuit of the kingdom of God, and how we need to prioritize the way we live and what we do. And I'm going to forewarn you, it's a rather lengthy episode, but I want you to take it with an open heart and open mind as well. I believe that the Lord begin to show me, even myself, as I read through this, how important it is to position ourselves and to pursue the right things in life instead of the things that we are pursuing. So it's so important. It opens up with a very convicting scripture as well. So I'm not going to continue to speak too much more. I want to also encourage you to, if you have Spotify, we are in the month of April, and we are getting closer and closer as we speak, as I record this one, closer to Easter Sunday, or Resurrection Sunday, I like to call it, Resurrection Day, celebrating the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So important for us to commemorate that, because of the fact that we as believers understand that Jesus won the victory, not just for salvation, he accomplished that on the cross by dying on the cross for each and every one of us and the shedding of blood for the sacrifice of our sins, but he also conquered death. And as he conquered death and resurrected from the grave, I mean, that has never been done in human history. There's never been a story like this, right? And so it's so important for us to commemorate that time. But anyways, before I get off topic, yes, go check it out. It's a rereading of Crossing Crowns by Charles Stanley. And I love Charles Stanley. Some of you might have heard of him. And so I've read this devotional before. And so what makes this different is not only just rereading it again, but also some of the songs and worship songs that you can only hear on Spotify on this particular account going through there. So if you see that and you have a Spotify account, just go ahead, take a listen, and hopefully you enjoy as we approach closer, ever so closer to Easter Sunday or Resurrection Sunday. Hopefully you guys are looking forward to that. Without further ado, I'm not going to hold you long. Let's get into this next awesome episode of Larry's Biblecast. Hey, so welcome to, this would be day nine of the devotional Favor. And we're getting through this month of, matter of fact, the month of April. Amen. So for those of you that also have a Spotify account, I am currently also doing a special version of Another devotional that I enjoy doing, which is Cross and Crowns, a devotional by Charles Stanley. And I'm also doing that also on Spotify. So those of you that have Spotify account, this is connected to Anchor, and that has some of the songs and everything. It's a powerful, powerful devotional that I love doing this time of year in preparation for Easter. But if you got a chance, you know, get a chance. I mean, go over there, check it out, and hopefully it will bless you. It's basically simple as far as redemption, salvation, just the message of Jesus Christ. Amen. So without further ado, let's read this devotional on favor. And the first scripture that is coming out of Matthew chapter 10, verse 39. It simply says this: whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Let's read that one more time. This is Jesus Christ talking, and it says, whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Okay, it's a paradox. We all desire to find life, to discover our purpose, to experience a sense of fulfillment. We create expectations, we set goals to achieve them, and we strive after what we believe to be the best life. Yet worldly pursuits only yield temporary satisfaction. Our best life, God's favored, filled life for us, beckons us from a place of selflessness. When we choose the path of surrender, sacrifice, and service, we operate alongside the supernatural. It's an example that Jesus lived. If we want to attain riches and honor, our path must begin with humility and the fear of the Lord. In what ways can you lay down your life for Jesus today? Such an awesome and powerful scripture, right? Something to think about. You know, a lot of times we pursue things that are not godly. Our pursuits, our ambitions in life. Now, don't get me wrong, we have to live life. But I think that the perspective should be God first. Remember, there's a verse in the Bible that says that seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You notice it takes it in an order: is seek first the kingdom of God, and second, his righteousness, and all these things, which is the rest of the stuff that you like, will be added to you. First of all, God doesn't want us to seek things. He doesn't want us to pursue things. That should not be our purpose in life. Our purpose should be Jesus Christ and his kingdom, his righteousness. His righteousness means that is applied to us. That means that we begin to operate in that righteousness. So Jesus was really, really taking a hard approach to the people and the audience that he had in front of him. You know, he begins by telling them this because he wants you to not pursue so much the things in life, but pursue God. Amen. Now, before we go on our first break, Mark 8, chapter 8, verse 36 says, and what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your soul? And John chapter 3, verse 30 says, he must become greater and greater, and I must become less and less. And the last one, Proverbs chapter 22, verse 4 says, true humility and fear of the Lord leads to riches, honor, and long life. Now, I know some of you are thinking, I want riches, I want honor, and I want long life. Remember, God knows your heart and he knows your ambitions. So remember, true humility and fear of the Lord is the first part. And that means riches, honors, and long life. In other words, your pursuits need to be humility and fear of the Lord. If you can start off with that, then God will begin to move on your life in such a degree. that way you can achieve all the other things. Remember, anything that you put your hands to, anything that you're succeeding at, whether it's a business, whether it's your own business, your own thing that you're doing, even if it's at your job, you're trying to get a promotion, seek the Lord first. Even in education, even in pursuing a family, a mate, a spouse, pursue God. Pursue God, not pursue a man or not pursue a woman. Pursue God first. That's the right way. I know a lot of us haven't done that, but in looking back, even over my life, had I pursued God more, I wouldn't have made some of the mistakes that I made. So it stands a reason some of us understand this, that, you know, the pursuit of God and his righteousness and his holiness, that's true life. You'll find your life in that. Remember, like he says, if you chase after life and life on its own, then you'll lose it. But if you sacrifice your life for his sake, then you'll find what true life is. True life is found in Jesus Christ. So remember that. He's trying to show you about the difference of pursuing and setting goals and to strive for what's more important. So we're going to take a break and we'll be right back. Hey, so welcome back. So how are you enjoying this episode so far? So we're going to go ahead and conclude this by reading out of Matthew chapter 10. And for the most part, this is Jesus when he called the 12 disciples together and gave them authority to cast out evil spirits and to heal every kind of disease and illness. And so this is very interesting. I need to stop right here, put the brakes on right here, so to speak, and hear this part. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, Jesus called his 12 disciples together and he gave them authority. Now, man, okay, so we're living in 2022. And mind you, of course, you know, Jesus is not here physically, and his disciples are not here as well. But what I find very interesting starting off in chapter 10 is that Jesus called his 12 disciples together and gave them the authority to cast out evil spirits and to heal every kind of disease and illness. Now, one thing that we have to remember as believers is that as we read this, we understand not only did he give them the authority to do these things, but they had to operate in faith, and they had to operate in faith to unlock the power that they was given. Now, I don't know what this looked like. I don't know whether Jesus, like, physically laid hands on these disciples or he just spoke the word. And understand this, that even when Jesus as he were, which is, you know, God in the flesh, he gave them the authority to operate as he would on earth. All right. And here's another thing to remember. Yeah, you know, the cast out the evil spirits and heal every kind of disease and illness while being on earth. Mind you, the difference is on earth, not as in heaven. Heaven doesn't have evil spirits in the presence of God. Even and healing, or disease and illness is not in heaven. For some of you that, like myself, have either lost loved ones due to an illness, due to say a cancer or anything that that they had might have died from, including things that we know of. Coronavirus now has been a topic recently, as well as, you know, just your average things, you know, diabetes, high blood pressure, a few other things that is definitely things that will take us out physically. I want to share this with you because I find this very, very important. Very important is that we as believers now, we are now in the year of 2022, and Jesus is ever so closer to come, even more so now than he was before. And I think that is imperative, even more so now than it was before, to prepare the way of for believers to receive the Lord Jesus Christ in their lives, to not play church, not to play religion as normal. We need to be operating the way these disciples were at that time. I think that Jesus has given us the authority as well to cast out evil spirits, as well as heal every kind of disease and illness. It's so important that we need to operate in the power of the Holy Spirit. And never before have I even more so felt that now than I have before. And as I read these scriptures, as I read these examples of what Jesus had done, and Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he has not changed and will not change. I believe that the same authority that he gave the disciples is the authority that he gives to us all. And the reason why is because, I mean, what else are you going to do beside, you know, just sharing the gospel? I think that it's important for us to begin to operate in such a way. And let me backtrack quickly on this. I don't want to just focus on just the casting out of evil spirits and healing disease and illnesses as a thing. I want us to understand the reason and the purpose for this. During the time when the disciples did this, it was a miracle, but it was also to make an impact and convince those that are around that God is real and that the Holy Spirit is real, and furthermore that the power of God is real, and it convinces people to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus came to earth, if you notice, evil spirits had to run, had to leave, flee. They knew who he was. They knew who he was and identified him as such, even though people didn't know who he was, but the evil spirits did. Demons did, see? And so remember this is like dark cannot stand the light. OK. And, as we look at the news and we see things in our streets and our communities, there is plenty of darkness. And you and I can't be afraid to not combat against it or not to. We can't be afraid and shrink from that, because according to this, if Jesus gave the 12 disciples the authority, he has also given you the authority and given me the authority to do the things that they have done even then. So there is no difference. During that time, there was the same, and it is even more so now. than it was even then. And because, you know, the devil has a short amount of time in which he himself is able to do the things that he's able to do. He's able to convince people and put these evil spirits upon them and diseases and stuff. And we all have some kind of disease and we all have some kind of illness. And this is why it's so important that prayer and the power of prayer and living right is so important. Living right, living according to God's purpose and plan in our lives, as well as walking according to the kingdom of God. And this is why I was saying before that what is so important is that we seek the kingdom of God above all the things, all the pursuits that we do in life. You know, we have plans, of course, you know, family, maybe get a house, a better job, or transportation, maybe pursue a marriage or what have you. And those are all well and good. Those are things that are here on earth. Remember, you know, that'll be different when you go to heaven. But for now, I think that let me just say this. Jesus, when he walked the earth, he had a mission. He wasn't going around saying, oh, let me get me a brand new house. Let me establish myself and my kingdom here. Remember, he wasn't intended on establishing his kingdom here on earth. His mission was to follow what God's what God wanted him to do. Okay, and that was to be the vessel that he is to be used to be the sacrifice for all of us, for all mankind. He only had a certain amount of time to do this. And while he was going through this, he made the disciples. He picked people to follow that followed him, okay, and that would continue on. And the disciples, it didn't stop with just 12 disciples. It went beyond that, because remember, they too had to create disciples, and the message of the gospel had to continue to spread from the region of where they were going toward the outermost parts of the world, basically all over the world, from generation to generation. And here we are today still talking about the things that they have done and the things where it started. And the reason why we're talking about this is so that we ourselves can continue on and move toward these things. The church age, which is so important, is when it started. It's when the church formulated, the worldwide group of believers, the church of Christianity, began to spread all over the world. And we too have to begin to operate in this power and this authority, because God has given us the authority through the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is why it's so important that your pursuits and your motivations, your ambitions, it's not just to do the things that we do when it comes to just the earthly pursuits, because even Jesus himself said that why do we worry about what we're gonna eat and what we're gonna wear, basically what we're gonna our earthly substance. This is what God normally would do, is to provide. So it shouldn't be a miracle or a big deal that God is providing. God does that on natural, and he compares that to the birds, the sparrows, basically. They provide. They don't never have to worry about what their food or where the food is going to be provided for. They don't never have to worry about that. Neither does, like they said, they compared the flowers or the lilies of the field, and they were beautified already. So they didn't have to worry about that. So those are the things that that we never should have to worry about, that, you know, where we're going to get our food from and where we're going to stay and all this other stuff. Those are things that are given. But I think that Jesus doesn't want those distractions and never wanted those distractions to hinder us from doing the things that God is really, really desires to do. Remember, you're saved. You're saved or redeemed and empowered now to do the things that God has called us all to do. What Jesus has done, what Jesus has given the authority to disciples, and such are we. We are not just people that go to church. We are not just people who know the gospel or know the Bible, and that's it. God has called us to do a lot more. And if you're not doing a lot more, then we're kind of just existing. And so this is not what God wants us to do. God wants us to activate our faith in such a way that the world knows that we are who we are in the Lord, and that we are light in a dark world. And so I know that it kind of went in a different direction of what I was expecting as far as reading this. But let's continue on real quick. And I'm going to skip some of these verses and get straight to verse 5 when it says here, and this is still in Matthew chapter 10. It says, Jesus sent out 12 disciples with these instructions. It says, don't go to the Gentiles or the Samaritans, but only to the people of Israel, God's lost sheep. Okay, very, very interesting. Go and announce to them that the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cure those with leprosy, and cast out demons. Give as freely as you have received. It says, don't take any money in your money belt, nor gold, silver, or even copper coins. Don't carry a traveler's bag with a change of clothes and sandals, or even a walking stick. Don't hesitate to accept hospitality, because those who work deserve to be fed. This is some really good stuff here, guys. Whenever you enter a city or village, search for a worthy person and stay in his home until you leave town. When you enter the home, give it your blessing. If it turns out to be a worthy home, let your blessing stand. If not, take back the blessing. If any household or town refuses to welcome you or listen to your message, shake its dust from your feet as you leave. I tell you the truth, the wicked cities of Sodom and Gomorrah will be better off than such a town on Judgment Day. It says, look, I am sending you out as sheep among wolves. So be as shrewd as snakes and harmless as doves. But beware, for you will be handed over to the courts and will be flogged with whips in the synagogues. You will stand trial before governors and kings because you are my followers. But this will be your opportunity to tell the rulers and other unbelievers about me. When you are arrested, don't worry about how to respond or what to say. God will give you the right words at the right time. For it is not you who will be speaking. It will be the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. A brother will betray his brother to death. A father will betray his own child, and children will rebel against their parents and cause them to be killed. And all nations will hate you because you are my followers. But everyone who endures to the end will be saved. When you are persecuted in one town, flee to the next. I tell you the truth, the Son of Man will return before you have reached all the towns of Israel. Students are not greater than their teacher, and slaves are not greater than their master. Students are to be like their teacher, and slaves are to be like their master. And since I, the master of the household, have been called the prince of demons, the members of my household will be called even worse names. But don't be afraid of those who threaten you, for the time is coming when everything that is covered will be revealed, and all that is secret will be made known to all. What I tell you now in the darkness, shout abroad when daybreak comes. What I whisper in your ear, shout from the housetops for all to hear. Don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body. They cannot touch your soul. Fear only God, who can destroy both soul and body in hell. What is the price of two sparrows, one copper coin? But not a single sparrow can fall to the ground without your Father knowing it. And the very hairs on your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are more valuable to God than a flock of sparrows. Everyone who acknowledges me publicly here on earth, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But everyone who denies me here on earth, I will also deny before my Father in heaven. He ends this, or almost ends this, by saying, don't imagine that I came to bring peace to earth. I came not to bring peace, but a sword. I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Your enemies will be right in your own household. If you love your father and mother more than you love me, you are not worthy of being mine. Or if you love your son or daughter more than me, you are not worthy of being mine. If you refuse to take up your cross and follow me, you are not worthy of being mine. If you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find it. Anyone who receives you receives me, and anyone who receives me receives the Father who sent me. If you receive a prophet as one who speaks of God, you will be given the same reward as a prophet. And if you receive righteous people because of their righteousness, you will be given a reward like theirs. And if you give even a cold cup of water to one of the least of my followers, you will surely be rewarded. I end this by saying, in reading this, Jesus makes it very clear of the importance and the priority in which we as believers have to be. I didn't just read one or two verses of this. This is the entire chapter, with the exception of the few verses that had to do with the names of the disciples that was sent out. I'm not saying that's not important, but it is important to know why he sent these apostles. He gave them authority, and he gave them a directive. And I noticed in the beginning of this chapter, he told them to go to the people of Israel, to God's lost sheep first. And as we know now, as we read this, now we who are Gentiles, or considered Gentiles, we now are reading these instructions. We all are accepting some of this, of what's happening. How are you feeling about what this chapter, in this whole chapter in Matthew, is saying? It's very interesting, because Jesus now is really kind of laying it on the line. Like, I need to be more the most important. In other words, the priority needs to be the kingdom. It needs to be me. And this is why I was saying earlier that even though we pursue and have ambitions in this life, to do things and for our future and stuff, remember, if those are more important than God himself, then guess what? Your life is here. Your life is here. And this is the reason why, I mean, now after really reading this and really thinking this through, I can understand why the church doesn't have the power that it should have, only because people that are a part of the body of Christ right now, we don't mind accepting Christ. We don't mind accepting the free gift of salvation. But we're the type of people that we will accept a gift that is free, and then we go our merry way and continue to do what we want to do. But God wants us to really be that impact and really live. Okay, live for the kingdom of God. Remember, the most important, one of the most important verses in this here is when he says here, he says that he talks about if you love your life. I gotta find it again here. Let me go back to the. When he says, whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. It's so important, because really what this is really saying is that if you pursue your life, yeah, you'll find it here on earth. But ultimately, like everything else that will be lost on the earth, because the earth will not remain forever. Whatever you obtain right now, I don't care whether it's houses, cars, or I know I'm using those as an example, but it's so much more. And you just have to fill in the blank of what you know. Those things will end, but what you do for Christ will last forever, for all eternity. What you do, and specifically, if you want me to be more specific about it, meaning that in other words, preaching the gospel or healing or doing the things that operate in the kingdom of God the way we ought to, we shouldn't have to wait for someone to tell us. We should be operating in this, and this is why it's so important for us as followers of Jesus Christ to really ask and really pursue the Holy Spirit in our lives, so that we can become more powerful, so that powerful in a sense, not so much as superheroes. I'm not saying it that way, but I am saying that operate in the authority in which Jesus gave us, in which Jesus gave the disciples, in which God wants to give us. Remember, you know, he doesn't sugarcoat what is going to happen to these disciples and these apostles. He doesn't make it like, oh, you're going to be, you know, people are going to be excited for you and stuff like that. No, he doesn't say that. You will have enmity. There will be people that will hate you, and there will be people, and some of you may be listening to me now and may understand it and may have experienced it. There are people all over the world right now that are going through persecution because of their faith, because they're speaking boldly. They're speaking outwardly, and they're doing things like they are healing people. They are casting out demons, and it's not looked at as, oh, these are God fearing people. No, they're saying that they are demon possessed as well, like they did with Jesus. Jesus said that. He said that if they call him the prince of demons, and he's casting out demons because of the fact that they think that, oh, he knows what he's doing. He's just kind of flipping it around. And the reason why he can cast out these demons, because he himself is the prince of demons. See, and understand, if somebody's going to accuse you of something like this, or any good thing that you're doing for the kingdom of God, let it be for that. Okay. And that means that they have shown their rejection of you or of God. Those of you that are going through persecution, whether it be for sharing your faith or living for God in a home or a family, and you may feel rejected, listen, this scripture, this chapter makes it very clear that you're on the right path. This chapter really makes it clear that not everybody's going to accept you. And it's not so much taking it personal either. We have to understand that the message of God and the message of Jesus Christ and living for him is not going to be popular. And the reason why, and I'm going to say this, I know I'm speaking quite a bit here, but understand this one last thing. As the world gets more and more evil, as the world begins to embrace more of itself, its way of thinking, its way of living in the culture, as we see it, as it grows more and more, as we approach closer to the coming of Jesus Christ, okay? These things are going to intensify. In other words, it's going to become and has already become the norm that the culture and the way things are going to be the way things are. The challenge is, will you compromise your faith? Will you blend in with everyone else? Will you try to be just like them? Because if you do, or if you are, then what you're doing is you're starting to water yourself down into the culture and water yourself down and blend in just because you don't want to be shown as different. And I'm not saying to be different just because to be different. I am saying that the more you lean into the Lord and the more you pursue the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God on earth, then the more more light shines through you than in the darkness of this world. Remember, the world and everything else is fading or will fade away and ultimately be destroyed. It's not going to be here. So we should not be so comfortable trying to pursue the things that we pursue in life. Those are to be a given. Those should be just a secondary standard, a place to stay, living, a job, a career, all those things. But that should never be your one and only thing as you in this life as a believer. And so, yeah, this is a pretty powerful chapter. I hope that you guys have really thought this through and understood this. This is an amazing time that we're living in, because you can best believe that the devil is not playing. He's not playing. We see all these things that are happening all around us. And trust me, it's not going to get any better. The world that we live in, with the, we have crime that is happening everywhere. I used to share with my wife that the crime is happening and evil is happening from down the street to the White House, to the to all the way to different foreign countries, and there's gangs and there's criminals and criminal networks and followed up with demonic possession and evil spirits that we don't even see. The Bible declares that. It talks about it. It talks about that there's evil spirits everywhere. You know, we don't fight against flesh and blood, but of princes, powers of principalities that are in heavenly places. There are demonic forces. It's not just on the movies. You know what I'm saying? Like you see a television show or a movie about demon possession. I mean, Hollywood loves to make these movies. And I want to say this one more thing. Speaking of Hollywood, and the entertainment industry and the movie industry, music industry as well, they all have a fascination with the spirit realm, or with heaven and hell and demons and angels and stuff. And that's all. You can see it right on television, and they talk about God, they talk about Jesus, and understand this, they will always talk and refer to the Bible, but there will never be the power the power of influence and the power of change and the power of living for the kingdom of God. It is such a different time that we're living in, and whether it be in churches that we see or ministries that we see out there that they speak about all these things that go through the same routine every single Sunday. But how many Sundays do people go, or you may go into a church and come out the same way you walked in? Listen, I'm not saying that it's not good to go to church, but I am saying that there needs to be a progression of improvement as you go every single Sunday. You should never be the same. You should, in other words, from the time that you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, it needs to go beyond that now. It's not a one and done and that's it. And, well, okay, I'm clean now, right? And you go on about your merry way. It's never been about that. It's about winning the people, not just yourself. If you've done for yourself, that's fine. And then now win your family members. Now win your coworkers, your friends, your neighbors, the people down the street, strangers you don't even know. Win them closer to the Lord and become and make them disciples as well. So this is not just, oh, let's just get clean and go wash up and get baptized and that's it. No. And we just got through reading in Matthew 10 that these men were sent out like sheep's to the slaughter or to wolves. And if it was happening then, it's happening much more now. So I don't know, you know, who this was for. I know this was good for myself as well, but I hope that this was a very this has actually been a very convicting message and a very convicting part of the devotional, understanding that it's so important that to prioritize your life. If you embrace these trivial things, I don't care whether it's sports or movies or music. I mean, I love all these things, but I have to realize even myself that those are not the most important things in life. Those things will disappear. Those are just whatever things that the flesh loves, right? But what really matters most at the end of life, as you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, is what you have done here. What have you done for the kingdom of God, meaning for the kingdom of heaven? And you can't, you, in other words, according to you and how you feel, it's not going to match what God feels. You got to make sure everything we do has to line up with what God is pleased with. It's important. We're so opinionated people. We're very opinionated people. And we also feel as though what I'm doing is so important. But let's compare that to what God feels important. And I think that's what we need to, as Christians, even as believers, we need to make sure that it's not just how we feel. Oh, I feel I'm doing this right. And I feel like I'm doing this over here. And this is what God is pleased with. Are you sure about that? You have to make sure that you're reflective and you're thinking like, is this really what God wants me to do? I'm not saying being unsure. If you're unsure, then ask him. The Bible says, ask if you lack wisdom, ask of it. Ask him and he will give you wisdom. See, and we have to take pursuing the Lord, pursuing God in our lives more seriously than what we do. I think that's pretty much all I'm saying, even to myself. So I hope this was a blessing to you, actually. And I hope that you've gotten something out of this. This is something that's so much more important. I love talking about redemption and salvation and grace. And that's good. But redemption and salvation is given to us for free to to give us access to God so that we can become more closer and more intimate with God in a way that we become more empowered. And if we're more empowered, it's not just for us to hoard, but for us to begin to walk according to what God wants us to walk on the face of the earth while we still have an earth left, and how that's going to be impactful to the world and the people around you. It's so important. So important. And after reading this, I definitely encourage you to read Matthew 10 and pray and ask the Lord to show you what it is and what direction that he wants to take you, and allow him to do it. Don't just pray about it and say, this is what I want, or what have you, because some of us, like they say, we'll pray for things and we won't expect in what direction God's going to take us. It may be a call to move from another job, another city, moving all together. You never know what God is going to call you to do. But God, once you submit and surrender fully to the Lord in your life, you'll never know what God is calling you to do, because that's the key. God wants us to fully submit and fully surrender our lives over to him. Okay? It's not just pursuing our life. Like you said, if you pursue your life, you will lose it. But if you pursue your life for his sake, then you will find it. You will find purpose, and you will find a purpose in which you are as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not purpose, my purpose in life is to do this, that, and the other. And that's all well and good. But your purpose in life is to pursue and follow the Lord Jesus Christ in order to be more of a kingdom builder on the face of this earth while we still have an earth left. Amen. Hey, listen, I know I spoke quite lengthy on this. I hope that this was an added blessing to you, and I hope that you subscribe and share this episode to those that may listen and understand with an open heart. Also, you can find me on all the other social media, but also all the places where you can get podcasts from. I'm on iHeartRadio as of now. I'm also on Google Podcasts, also Apple Podcasts. You might be listening to me from there. But this is produced and sponsored by Anchor. As you can hear, some of the pre-recorded commercial that I had also as well. And those of you that feel God is leading you to do a podcast, do a ministry, whether it be on Facebook or Instagram. Remember, these platforms are not the best platforms. These are man-made platforms, and that a lot of these social media things that are out there are not godly. But whatever God has called you to do, and how to use these platforms, you use it for the kingdom of God. Use it to spread the message of the kingdom of God for people that will be on these platforms, that are channel surfing like some of you might be doing right now. It's important to let people know about the message of Jesus Christ while we still have time. Amen. All right. I've spoken long enough. I know this is quite lengthy. I hope that you guys understand and receive this in love, and receive this as God's instructions as well, because of the word, not just by what I say, but by the word of God, by what we've read. Amen. All right. God bless you. And I'll be talking to you next time.